There is a kind of suffering that leaves no bruises, no visible marks, and yet it weighs more than we can carry. It is the silent ache of emotional attachment, the quiet longing for someone who is no longer present, or perhaps never fully was. You wake up thinking of them, fall asleep wondering what went wrong, and in between, you carry the invisible burden of memory. You feel like a part of you still lives in someone else's world, someone else's silence. This pain is deceptive because it's quiet. You can still function, still smile, still pretend. But deep inside, your thoughts circle the same memories over and over. You replay conversations. You imagine different endings. And in that loop, you become a prisoner of your own attachment. Not because you are weak, but because you are human. And yet, there is another way. A way that does not involve denial or pretending that it never mattered. A way that acknowledges the depth of your feelings, but does not allow them to rule you. That way is stoicism. Marcus Aurelius, one of history's most powerful emperors, wrote privately to himself about his struggles, not with armies or politics, but with the human heart. He knew what it meant to feel loss, disappointment, and emotional weight, and yet he never allowed these emotions to control him. He trained his mind to focus only on what he could control and to let go of what he could not. That is the path of emotional detachment, not coldness, but clarity. Detaching from someone emotionally does not mean you stop caring. It means you stop losing yourself in the care. It means recognizing that peace is not found in another person, but in how you respond to their absence. The Stoics understood that true freedom is inner freedom, the kind that does not sway with external changes, not even with the presence or absence of someone we love. In this path, there are no shortcuts, but there are principles, timeless, tested, and brutally honest. They were lived by those who faced more hardship than most of us ever will. And today, they can become your tools for healing. There are 7 Stoic rules that can guide you in the process of letting go, not with bitterness, but with strength. These rules are not philosophies to admire from afar. They are actions to take, perspectives to adopt, and truths to confront. If you carry emotional pain, if you are trying to move on, if you feel stuck between remembering and healing, these rules are for you. They will not erase what was, but they will help you build what comes next. And stay with me until the end, because the 7th rule is the most powerful of all. It does not only speak to relationships, but to the foundation of Stoic freedom itself. Once you understand it, everything else will begin to shift. Before we begin, I ask only this. Write down these words somewhere, even in your mind. My peace does not depend on anyone. Let it be your anchor. Let it be your start. Now, let us begin with the first step toward inner detachment, the first principle of Stoic release, the first reminder that your strength has always been within you, waiting to be reclaimed. Rule number 7, remember that nothing external belongs to you. This is perhaps the hardest rule to accept, especially when your heart is still wrapped around someone else's presence. But the Stoics made it clear. Nothing external is truly yours. Not people, not outcomes, not relationships. Only your thoughts, your actions, and your responses are within your possession. Epictetus said it plainly. Some things are up to us, and some are not. That single sentence is the dividing line between suffering and serenity. When you become emotionally attached to another person, you begin to believe, often unconsciously, that they are part of your identity. You begin to anchor your peace, your joy and your worth in their presence or approval. But that is an illusion, and illusions always lead to suffering. You must remind yourself that people are not possessions. They are not extensions of your will. They are not there to fulfill your expectations or to stay simply because you desire it. People are free beings with their own minds, choices, wounds, and paths. And just as they came into your life without your control, they may leave it the same way. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." The moment you understand that no one is truly yours, you begin to see clearly. You stop trying to control the uncontrollable. You stop demanding permanence from things that were never promised. And in doing so, you regain your power. Detachment, in the Stoic sense, is not about withdrawal or coldness. It is about releasing your grip on what was never in your hands to begin with. It is the recognition that the tighter you hold on to something external, the more it controls you. And when that thing is taken away, by distance, by time, by life itself, you are left shattered. Not because it was taken, but because you believed it was yours. This rule asks you to confront a painful truth. No one owes you their love. No one is obligated to stay. And if they do leave, you are not entitled to their explanation, their apology, or their return. What you are entitled to is your own peace, your own clarity, your own return to inner alignment. The Stoics taught that grief is natural, but suffering from attachment is optional. You can feel the loss without becoming lost in it. You can mourn what was and still release what is no longer meant to be. And every time your mind pulls you back into old memories, you return with this thought: "That was never mine. It was given for a time. Now it has passed, and I remain." Emotional detachment is not the absence of love. It is the presence of self-possession. It is the ability to care deeply and still walk away when your peace is threatened. It is understanding that your worth is not measured by who stays, but by how you stay whole regardless of who leaves. So as you carry this rule into your life, repeat it to yourself when the ache returns. Nothing external belongs to me, and that includes the person I once held close. This is not cruelty. This is clarity. This is not giving up. This is letting go. Because only by releasing what was never truly yours can you make space for what is fully within your grasp: your dignity, your focus, your future. Rule number 7. Remember that nothing external belongs to you. There comes a moment in emotional detachment that feels like standing at the edge of a cliff. You look down, and below you is everything you once held dear. Memories, conversations, moments of laughter, glimpses of warmth, and the echo of someone's presence that once meant everything. You don't want to jump, you want to go back, but the bridge has burned. And what lingers now is not the person, but the attachment to what they once represented. This is where Stoicism does not offer comfort, but truth. A truth that feels harsh at first, but ultimately frees you more deeply than any distraction ever could. The rule is simple, but piercing. Nothing external belongs to you. When Epictetus laid out his teachings, he did not begin with metaphysics or vague reflections. He began with a division, a clear line. Some things are up to us, and some are not. He called it the key to freedom, the doorway to peace. He meant that everything outside your will, your possessions, your reputation, your body, your status, your relationships, and yes, the people you love, does not actually belong to you. These things may appear close, may seem to be within your grasp, but they are not yours in essence. They are borrowed, temporary. governed by nature, chance, or the choices of others. This realization feels like a wound the first time it sinks in, especially when love is involved, because we want to believe that when we give our heart to someone, a part of them becomes ours in return, that they now carry a duty toward us, a loyalty, an obligation. But that is not how nature works. That is not how people work. And it is certainly not how peace is found. Marcus Aurelius, while sitting at the peak of power, surrounded by servants, armies, and endless responsibilities, repeated this principle to himself like a mantra. You have power over your mind, not outside events. He knew well that nothing was his to keep, not his empire, not his wife, not even his own children. And yet he loved them all deeply. His strength was not in detachment through apathy. It was detachment through understanding. The Stoic does not stop loving, but they stop clinging. To detach emotionally, you must begin by accepting that no person belongs to you, not the one who once held your hand, not the one who made you feel alive, not even the one who swore to stay. Their thoughts are not yours. Their path is not yours. Their choices are not yours to control. The tighter you grasp, the more life will take from you, because it was never yours to own in the first place. This is the root of suffering, illusion, the illusion of ownership, the illusion of permanence, the illusion that love guarantees security. It does not. Seneca warned that we should love others as if they are going to leave, not because we expect it, but because we must remember that all human connections are fragile, conditional, and subject to the forces of fate. He was not cynical, he was grounded. And when the day came that someone did leave, he did not collapse. He felt the pain, he honored the bond, but he did not unravel, and neither should you. You may feel right now like your world has lost its anchor, like their absence has taken a part of your soul with it. But that part was never truly them. It was your projection, your story, your version of them. You are mourning not just a person, but the meaning you gave to them, the version of yourself that existed in their presence. Now you must do the work of reclaiming that self, not through bitterness, but through clarity. Detachment does not mean becoming numb. It means no longer tying your emotional stability to someone else's decisions. It means you no longer react like a slave to their presence or absence. It means you see clearly where you once saw only fantasy. When you remember that nothing external belongs to you, you stop building your identity on unstable ground. You begin to recenter your focus on what is fully within your control, your choices, your standards, your inner dialogue, your vision. And in doing so, you become untouchable, not because you do not feel, but because you refuse to be ruled by what you cannot command. You loved them. That was real. But the Stoic understands that love, to be healthy, must be given freely and released just as freely when it begins to destroy your balance. So you grieve, yes. You allow the emotions to rise, but you do not chase them down endless corridors of memory. You do not resist what has already left. You stand where you are and say to yourself, I do not own what is outside my control. And that includes this person. That includes their decisions. That includes what could have been. The pain lessens, not because you forget, but because you stop feeding it with illusion. You no longer beg reality to be different. You no longer place your peace in the hands of someone who no longer walks beside you. You take it back. You take back your mornings, your thoughts, your attention. You take back the energy you gave away, trying to interpret silence, decode behavior, and fix what was never your job to fix. You stop seeing detachment as abandonment and start seeing it as realignment. This rule, when lived, becomes a shield. You will encounter people again who stir your soul, who awaken something deep in you, and you will feel again. You will care again, but you will not lose yourself again, because you will carry this truth like armor. Nothing outside myself belongs to me, and I am at peace with that. That is the true strength of the Stoic, not to escape emotion, but to survive it without losing the core of who you are. So when the urge comes to reach out, to replay old conversations, to search for closure where there is only distance, pause, breathe, and remember, that person is not your possession. That chapter is not your cage. That memory is not your home. Your home is within you. And there is more peace in accepting what is not yours than in begging for what refuses to stay. Rule number 7. Remember that nothing external belongs to you. There is a truth that most people run from, not because they don't sense it, but because to truly accept it means breaking apart the way they've built their emotional world. That truth is this: nothing and no one outside of you truly belongs to you. Not your possessions, not your position in the world, not even the person you once loved with everything you had. To accept this is not to descend into apathy. It is to begin the painful but necessary journey toward emotional liberation. This rule, simple in its phrasing, is perhaps the most profound and the most difficult to integrate, especially when the heart is still bleeding. You loved them. You shared with them your vulnerability, your time, your trust. You perhaps built a future in your mind that was never realized. And now they're gone, maybe slowly, maybe suddenly. And what remains is not just the absence of their presence, but the echo of everything they meant to you. And if you're not careful, that echo becomes a prison. But the Stoics offer a key. Epictetus, born a slave and later one of the most revered Stoic teachers, begins his Enchiridion not with poetic reflections, but with the most essential division. Some things are in our control and some are not. That's it. That's the starting point of all inner freedom. Everything else flows from that single insight. Once you accept what lies beyond your command and stop attempting to control it, your suffering begins to dissolve. Not because life becomes easier, but because your perception becomes clearer. When you are emotionally attached to someone, your mind begins to blur that line. You start to believe that their presence, their affection, their consistency are things you can hold on to. You act as if their choices are part of your domain, and when they shift, when they leave, pull away, change, or fail to meet your expectations, you feel betrayed. Not always by them, but by reality itself. You feel as though something was stolen from you. But Stoicism reminds you, nothing was ever yours to keep. This is not a cold truth. It is a liberating one. It frees you from the unbearable pressure of trying to hold the tide. It releases you from the illusion that people are possessions, that love guarantees permanence, that emotional investment entitles you to reciprocity. It replaces all these fragile assumptions with something sturdier: inner control and acceptance of nature's course. Marcus Aurelius, writing in solitude while ruling the vast Roman Empire, often reminded himself that everything he saw, touched, or loved was temporary. Even his own family, even his own body. "You may leave this life today," he wrote, Let that determine what you do, say, and think. The purpose of these reminders was not to inspire detachment in the form of distance, but to inspire gratitude and to help him avoid the trap of emotional slavery to external things. People are not ours, not truly. They enter our lives as guests. Some stay longer, some teach us lessons, some leave unexpectedly, but at no point are they extensions of our will. And when we forget this, when we begin to build our emotional stability on their behavior, their love, or their commitment, we place ourselves in a dangerous position. We hand over the keys to our peace. You are not meant to be emotionally at the mercy of someone else's choices. You are not meant to build your self-worth on someone else's recognition. You are not meant to remain shackled to a memory simply because it once brought joy. You are meant to stand in the present moment, anchored not by another person, but by the clarity of your own mind. To detach, then, is to see things clearly. To say, I loved, I gave, I felt, and yet none of it was mine to hold on to. This is not bitterness. This is acceptance. It does not erase what was beautiful. It does not deny what mattered, but it reclaims what was always yours, the ability to respond with dignity, with perspective, and with peace. Seneca, in a letter written to a friend grieving a loss, said, "Let us love, not as if we will never lose, but as if we might lose tomorrow." He was not promoting cynicism. He was urging presence. Real love does not cling. It does not demand eternity. It honors what is given and releases what must go. The Stoic knows that even the deepest connection must one day end, and when it does, there is no need for collapse, only reflection. You might say, but how can I let go of someone who meant so much to me? The answer lies not in suppressing your feelings, but in questioning your assumptions. What are you really holding on to? Is it the person or the idea of them? Is it the relationship or the story you built around it? Often, what we are attached to is not reality, but projection. And projections, by their very nature, are illusions. When you remind yourself every single day that nothing external belongs to you, you begin to step out of that illusion. You begin to see that people are on their own paths, that their choices are shaped by things you will never fully understand, that their distance, silence, or departure does not reflect your value. It reflects their direction. And so you step back. You breathe. You stop chasing answers that were never yours to begin with. You stop asking, why did they leave? And instead ask, why am I still giving them space in my mind? That shift is where Stoicism begins to work its quiet transformation. This is not easy. No true philosophy ever is. But this is the only path that leads to lasting peace. Every other path, desperation, hope for closure, emotional bargaining, leads back to suffering. Because all of those are rooted in the same illusion, the illusion that something external should belong to you. It does not, and that is okay. What belongs to you is sacred. It is what the Stoics called prohairesis, your ability to choose your response, to direct your thoughts, to live in accordance with reason and virtue. No one can take that from you, and no one can give it back to you if you abandon it. So now, right now, say this to yourself. I do not own what is outside my control. Say it again when your mind drifts into longing. Say it again when you feel the urge to reach out. Say it again when the past knocks on your heart and asks to be relived, and then say this, "But I do own how I respond." That is the moment you reclaim your freedom. You are allowed to feel, you are allowed to grieve, but you are not allowed to lose yourself. Not now. Not for someone who is no longer walking beside you. Not for someone who, perhaps unknowingly, has already continued on their path. You must now return to your own. And you return by letting go. Not with bitterness, not with cold detachment, but with the stillness of someone who finally understands the difference between holding and clinging. You held something precious. It passed. Now, you let go. Not because it didn't matter, but because it mattered too much to be reduced to suffering. This is what the Stoics knew. That inner peace is not the result of controlling life, but of no longer needing to. That love is not weakened by non-attachment, it is purified by it. That grief is not failure, it is proof that something was real. But suffering from clinging, that is self-imposed, that is illusion. And now it ends. Nothing external belongs to you. And from that truth, the most powerful kind of peace can finally begin. Rule number 6, shift your identity back to yourself. In the aftermath of emotional loss, one of the most disorienting experiences is not the absence of the other person. It's the loss of the version of yourself that existed in their presence. You find yourself standing in front of the mirror, unsure of who you are without them. Not because you don't have a life of your own, but because piece by piece, you gave your identity away. This happens quietly. You begin to shape your daily choices around them. What you say, how you behave, how you perceive yourself. You adopt their preferences. You soften your edges. You absorb their validation as the measure of your worth. And suddenly, you are no longer living fully as yourself. You are living as a reflection, dependent on the gaze of someone else. And when that person pulls away or disappears altogether, you feel like you've lost more than a connection. You feel like you've lost yourself. The Stoics saw this clearly. They warned against constructing the self around things that are external, impermanent, and uncontrollable. Epictetus reminded us that we are not our reputation, we are not our possessions, and we are certainly not who others want us to be. We are our faculty of judgment, we are our choices, we are the principles we uphold even when no one else sees them. So this rule is clear, shift your identity back to yourself. You cannot detach emotionally from someone if your sense of self is still living in their shadow. You must reclaim the parts of you that became too entangled in the relationship. And this is not an act of forgetting, it is an act of remembering. Remembering who you were before you met them. Remembering what you loved doing before they became the center of your attention. Remembering that your life was never designed to orbit around another person's presence. Seneca wrote that a wise man is self-sufficient, not because he desires to be alone, but because he knows how to be whole in himself. That is the mark of inner stability, not isolation, but integration. The ability to stand in full recognition of who you are, even in the absence of someone who once made you feel seen. It's not easy. When a bond has been deep, when the emotional connection was strong, the separation feels like amputation. But this is where perspective must step in. You have not been cut in half. You have not been left empty. You have simply been invited to return to yourself. And returning means asking real questions. What part of my identity did I give away? What dreams did I postpone for them? What parts of me did I mute to stay close? What roles did I play just to be accepted? These are not accusations. These are pathways. Each answer gives you a piece of your sovereignty back. Each realization becomes a stepping stone in the rebuilding of your self-concept. Because the truth is, attachment becomes suffering when it replaces identity. When you are no longer just someone who loved, you become someone who needs that love to feel whole. And that shift, subtle as it is what turns affection into dependency. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself often that the soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts. If your thoughts are always centered on someone else, on their absence, on their attention, on what they did or didn't do, you begin to forget your own color. You begin to disappear into a version of yourself shaped entirely by emotional reaction. And the longer you stay there, the harder it becomes to return. But return you must. And the Stoics would tell you to begin not with external change, but with internal reflection. Sit with yourself, without distractions, without the noise. Ask what values truly matter to me. What kind of person do I want to be, regardless of who stays or leaves? What does virtue look like in how I carry myself from this moment forward? This is where your healing begins. Because once your identity is no longer dependent on emotional connection, you become immune to emotional captivity. You can still love deeply. You can still bond fully. But you no longer vanish when the bond breaks. You remain. You endure. You adapt. Because your sense of self is not built on the shifting ground of affection, it is rooted in unshakable principle. You may find that in this process of returning to yourself, you also begin to release the illusions you carried about the other person. You see more clearly where you were projecting, where you were compromising, where you were losing yourself not out of love, but out of fear. And that clarity, though painful at first, is purifying. It burns away the fantasies and leaves you with what is real. And what is real is this: you are still here. You are still worthy, still whole, still capable of love, of growth, of purpose, independent of anyone else's recognition. This is why Stoicism is not just a philosophy for hardship. It is a philosophy for rebirth. It offers you the tools to rebuild not just your emotions, but your entire framework for how you define yourself. Not in contrast to others, but in alignment with your deepest values. So as you move forward, remind yourself daily, I am not what others see in me. I am not what I was in that relationship. I am what I choose to become now. And with that, take your first quiet steps back home to yourself. Rule number 5. Train your mind to see reality, not story. One of the most powerful obstacles to emotional detachment is not the memory of the person. It is the story we have written around them. A story that we tell ourselves over and over again. A story full of meaning, symbols, possibilities, and alternate versions of what could have been. This story becomes addictive, often more gripping than reality itself. And as long as you're trapped in it, you are not healing, you are not detaching, you are not living. This is where Stoicism cuts sharply and precisely. It teaches that emotional suffering is often less about what happened and more about what we tell ourselves about what happened. The event, the breakup, the loss, the distance is objective. But our interpretation of it, our narrative, is what gives it emotional weight. And if that narrative is not examined, if it's allowed to run wild, it will consume us. The Stoics called this process judgment, the mental framing we place on every experience. Epictetus warned, Men are disturbed not by things, but by the views they take of things. This means that your pain, your sorrow, your inability to move on, it's not just about the other person. It's about the lens through which you've chosen to see them. You might have built a narrative that they were your soulmate, that the relationship was perfect, if only for this one issue, that you would have lasted forever had timing been different. You might say they understood you like no one else, or that you'll never feel that way again, but you must stop, you must pause, because these are not facts, they are stories. And the problem with stories is that they are built on emotion, not reality. You begin to romanticize moments that were ordinary. You begin to forget the discomfort, the doubts, the tension. You filter out every red flag and focus only on the highs. You turn someone flawed and human into an ideal, and in doing so, you rob yourself of clarity. Marcus Aurelius spent his life training his mind not to be swayed by emotion, by praise, by fear, or by longing. In his meditations, he constantly reminded himself to see things as they are, not worse than they are, not better, just as they are. This practice is not merely intellectual, it is spiritual. It demands discipline, it demands courage. Because clarity hurts at first. It hurts to look at someone you loved and admit that they may not have been what you needed. It hurts to acknowledge that the connection you idealized may have been unbalanced, fragile, or dependent on your emotional investment alone. It hurts to see that your suffering might be, in part, a result of your refusal to accept what was plainly in front of you all along. But clarity also liberates. When you see things as they are, you stop chasing ghosts. You stop rewriting history. You stop waiting for someone who never truly existed outside of your imagination. You begin to engage with life, not through the lens of what was lost, but through the lens of what is true. This is why the Stoic must become a master of perception. You must challenge your own narrative. You must sit with the story you've written and dissect it. Ask yourself, what facts support this belief? Where have I exaggerated or minimized? What parts of the truth have I been unwilling to face? You may find, with honesty, that much of your pain comes from clinging to an illusion of permanence, of compatibility, of unfulfilled destiny. But when illusions fall, strength rises. Because once you stop lying to yourself, you start building something that lasts. Self-respect, emotional clarity, and the kind of detachment that does not deny love, but refuses to be ruled by it. Detachment is not rejection. It is not emotional sterility. It is simply the choice to stop adding fantasy to fact. To love someone enough to release them from your projections, to love yourself enough to stop suffering over an imaginary version of them. This discipline must be daily. Each time a memory resurfaces, you do not push it away, but you examine it through the Stoic lens. You ask, is this real or is this a story I'm telling myself? And if it's the latter, you breathe and you let it go. This rule also applies to the future. Many people stay attached not just because of the past, but because of the story they wrote about the future, a future that no longer exists, a plan that now has no place. And yet, they hold on, not to the person, but to the imagined life that was never lived. Here again, the Stoics offer their quiet instruction. Do not suffer imagined troubles. The future does not belong to you, and the only life you must manage is the one unfolding now. When you commit to seeing reality, not story, you begin to ground yourself. You make peace with what happened. You stop bargaining with the past. And most importantly, you begin to see the person you once loved for who they actually are. Not better, not worse, just human. That is the turning point. That is when the grip begins to loosen. Because it's hard to stay emotionally entangled with someone you now see clearly, without distortion. So repeat this to yourself whenever the story starts again in your mind. I do not need to believe everything I feel. I do not need to follow every thought. I will see things as they are. Let that be your practice. Let that be your power. In time, your mind becomes quieter. Your heart stops racing toward fantasy. And you begin to live, not in the story of what was, but in the truth of what is. That is freedom. Rule number 4. Do not let your emotions dictate your standards. In the wake of emotional loss or detachment, there is often a quiet danger that goes unnoticed. It is not the grief itself. It is not even the longing. It is the slow erosion of your standards, moral, personal, relational, under the weight of unresolved emotion. You start to question your boundaries. You wonder if perhaps you asked for too much. You reconsider behaviors you once found unacceptable. And eventually, you begin to lower your standards, not out of clarity, but out of emotional fatigue. This is a critical mistake, and the Stoics warned against it constantly. Your emotions are not your enemy. The Stoics never said that we should suppress them or pretend they don't exist, but they did say that emotions must never be given the throne. They are to be acknowledged, observed, and redirected, but never obeyed without examination. Because when your emotions dictate your values, you are no longer guided by reason, you are governed by impulse. Epictetus used the metaphor of a ship tossed by waves. The waves are like your feelings, strong, real, sometimes overwhelming. But if you let them steer your course, you will crash. The wise man, he said, knows how to feel without surrendering the helm. So here is the core of rule number 4. Do not adjust your standards to accommodate your emotions, especially those that arise from attachment. After someone you love pulls away, there's a moment of desperation that whispers, "Maybe if I had been less rigid, maybe if I didn't speak up, maybe if I just accept this behavior, they'll come back." But that voice is not wisdom. That voice is fear wearing the mask of compromise, and fear must never set your moral compass. Because the truth is, the more you betray your standards to hold on to someone, the more of yourself you lose. And the more you lose yourself, the less there is of you to love in the first place. Marcus Aurelius, burdened by the weight of command and the chaos of Rome, constantly wrote to himself about the importance of virtue, living according to principle, regardless of outcome. "Just that you do the right thing," he wrote, "the rest doesn't matter." He meant that peace comes not from what others do, but from staying true to what you know is right. Even if it hurts, even if it costs you someone you love, you must ask yourself, what do I stand for in relationships? What behaviors do I accept and which ones betray my values? What is non-negotiable, no matter how strong my feelings are? And then you must hold to those answers, not out of pride, but out of self-respect. When your emotions scream for contact, for reconciliation, for that one last conversation, you must pause. You must ask, is this feeling trying to protect me or just keep me in the past? Because most often what feels urgent is not wise, and what feels good in the moment costs you dearly in the long run. You may think, but I miss them. That's natural. But we had a bond. Maybe you did, but I still love them. Love is not a reason to abandon principle. Seneca warned against living reactively. He said the wise person never lets sorrow or desire make their decisions for them. Because when you do, you surrender your agency. You become a puppet of your own emotions, pulled back and forth by their highs and lows. And that is not stoicism. That is captivity. Detachment, then, is not just about emotional distance. It is about moral steadfastness. The ability to look your pain in the face and still say, I will not dishonor myself in the name of relief. That means not chasing someone who ignored your boundaries, not tolerating inconsistency out of nostalgia, not accepting crumbs of attention because the memory of past affection still lingers. And yes, it means walking away, even when your heart protests. Because sometimes love must be expressed through silence. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do, for them and for yourself, is to stop lowering the bar just to keep someone in your life. The Stoics believed that virtue was the only true good, not comfort, not success, not even love in the romantic sense. They believed that character was the only thing truly in your control and that it must never be compromised. And when you adopt this view, truly adopt it, you begin to see emotional detachment not as a loss, but as a purification. You begin to strip away what was built on fragility. You begin to stand again, not on feeling, but on foundation. You reclaim your dignity. So how do you live this in practice? You start by identifying your values with precision. Write them down. What kind of treatment is acceptable to you? What are your non-negotiables in relationships? What behaviors drain your peace, and which ones nourish it? Do this not in the heat of emotion, but in the stillness of reflection. Then, when your emotions flare, when the ache returns, when the old bond calls out to you, you return to that list. You measure your feelings not against your longing, but against your principles, and you act accordingly. This is not always glorious. Sometimes it means sitting alone on a night when you could have sent that text. Sometimes it means deleting a message you wrote in a moment of vulnerability. Sometimes it means turning away from someone you still care about deeply. But each time you do this, you reinforce your integrity. You train yourself to choose truth over relief. And over time, this becomes strength. A quiet, unshakable kind of strength. The kind that makes you magnetic, not because you're chasing love, but because you've become whole enough not to. So say this to yourself every day if you must. My emotions are valid, but they do not set my standards. My feelings are loud, but they are not law. Let this be your inner shield. Let it protect the version of you that is rising from the ashes of attachment. In the end, emotional detachment is not the absence of love. It is the presence of wisdom. It is the refusal to let temporary emotions rewrite eternal values. It is the discipline of loving without losing yourself. And that is what the Stoics called freedom. Rule number 3, stop trying to change what you cannot control. There comes a moment in every attachment, especially one that has begun to unravel, where your mind becomes consumed with strategies, questions, and possibilities. You replay conversations, analyze tone, reread messages. You wonder what you could have done differently, how you could have responded better, how things might have turned out if you had just said this or done that. It becomes obsessive, exhausting, And it's all rooted in the same illusion that the situation can still be fixed if you just try hard enough. This is the most persistent trap of attachment, the belief that with the right effort, you can control what is not yours to control. That if you just explain yourself, they'll understand. That if you just wait long enough, they'll come back. That if you just love them better, they'll stay. This mindset does not lead to healing, it leads to self-destruction. The Stoics warned us about this over and over again. They taught that the foundation of emotional freedom lies in understanding the difference between what is within your control and what is not. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." It sounds simple, but in moments of emotional pain, it's the hardest truth to accept, because the heart is stubborn. It wants to believe that love is enough, that consistency and effort can bend reality, that if you just don't give up, things will work out. But Stoicism doesn't ask you to give up. It asks you to wake up, to see clearly, to stop pouring your energy into something that does not respond to effort because it exists outside your sphere of influence. You cannot change someone's mind if they don't want to change it. You cannot force someone to feel something they no longer feel. You cannot reverse time, erase words, or undo decisions. And every ounce of effort you invest in trying to control those things is energy stolen from your healing. This is why Epictetus said, "Freedom is the only worthy goal in life. It is won by disregarding things that lie beyond our control. Not because those things are unimportant, but because they are unreachable. Because focusing on them puts you in bondage, emotional, mental, and spiritual. So what does this rule require of you? It requires a shift in focus, a radical redirection of your attention, away from the other person, away from the outcome, and back toward yourself, toward your thoughts, your behaviors, your routines, your internal world. Because that is where your real power lives. You may not be able to change their decision, but you can change the way you respond to it. You can choose not to beg, not to chase, not to diminish yourself for the sake of temporary relief. You can choose to maintain your dignity in silence, rather than lose it in the pursuit of answers that may never come. This is not indifference. It is maturity. It is the realization that you cannot negotiate with fate. You can only align yourself with it. And sometimes that alignment means accepting that someone's role in your life has ended, even if it ended without closure, without fairness, without logic. Acceptance, in the Stoic view, is not passive. It is one of the highest forms of discipline. It means facing reality exactly as it is, without softening it, without dramatizing it, without bending it to fit your hopes. It means saying, "This hurts, but it is not mine to fix." And once you truly accept what is beyond your control, something shifts. You stop arguing with life. You stop needing everything to make sense. You stop needing them to come back, because your peace is no longer contingent on their behavior. It is rooted in your alignment with truth. One of the most powerful practices in Stoicism is negative visualization, premeditatio malorum, the act of imagining the loss of things and people you love, not to create fear, but to prepare the mind for impermanence. The Stoics believed that if you practice letting go in your thoughts, you will suffer less when life asks you to let go in reality. So ask yourself, what am I still trying to change that is clearly outside my hands? Am I still waiting for an apology, still hoping for reconciliation, still trying to explain myself to someone who no longer listens? still idealizing a future that no longer exists. Each one of these is a form of control, and each one must be surrendered. Because healing begins the moment you stop trying to rewrite the story and instead begin to write a new one. Not with the same characters, but with a new center, yourself. Marcus Aurelius didn't expect life to be fair. He expected it to be what it was, unpredictable, often painful, and beyond his design. But he also expected himself to meet that life with virtue. To respond, not react, to endure, not escape, to stay anchored in his own character, even when everything around him dissolved. You can do the same. You can feel the grief, you can cry, you can remember, but you must not negotiate with what is no longer yours to influence. You must not build your self-worth around the hope of changing someone's mind. You must not delay your healing, waiting for something outside of you to shift. This is the essence of emotional detachment in Stoicism, to love and to let go, to try and to release, to act where you have power and to surrender where you do not. So the next time your thoughts spiral, when you begin rehearsing what you'll say if they call, when you start hoping again, when you feel that desperate urge to do something, pause and ask yourself, is this within my control? If the answer is no, then the action is a form of suffering, and suffering, when chosen, is not noble, it is wasteful. Instead, choose serenity, choose alignment. Choose to withdraw your attention from the unreachable and pour it into the one place where change is always possible, within. This is not giving up. This is growing up. Because in the end, peace does not come from fixing what is broken outside of you. It comes from no longer needing to. Rule number two, don't personalize their distance or departure. One of the most subtle and devastating forms of emotional suffering is taking things personally that were never entirely about you. When someone pulls away, ends a relationship, becomes distant, or leaves without explanation, the mind immediately begins to assign blame. And often, that blame is turned inward. You think to yourself, what did I do wrong? Why wasn't I enough? Was I too much? Was I not interesting, beautiful, kind, or successful enough to keep them? This self-interrogation becomes a kind of emotional torture, a search for flaws, real or imagined, that might explain why someone chose to walk away. But this entire framework, the idea that their departure is a reflection of your inadequacy, is a distortion. And the Stoics would tell you, stop taking what isn't yours as your burden to carry. Because when someone chooses to leave, it is a reflection of their values, their perception, their timing, their inner conflicts, and their path, not your worth. You may have played a role in the unfolding of events. You may have made mistakes, spoken harshly, held expectations. But no single action of yours can fully explain the choice of another human being. And it is arrogance to think it can. Stoicism teaches that people act according to their internal reasoning, their hegemonicon, the ruling faculty of the soul. That faculty is shaped by their upbringing, their worldview, their emotional regulation, and their desires. You do not govern any of that. And so, you are not responsible for the outcomes that emerge from it. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "It is not things that trouble us, but our opinions about things." He meant that suffering often arises not from reality, but from our interpretation of it. When someone walks away, the pain comes not only from the loss, but from what we tell ourselves about the loss. They left because I wasn't good enough. They left because I'm hard to love. They left because something is wrong with me. These beliefs are more damaging than the departure itself. The Stoic response is not to deny emotion, it is to correct interpretation, to replace assumptions with clarity. What if they left because they were not ready? What if they left because they did not see themselves clearly? What if they left because their version of love is shaped by wounds you cannot see? The answer is not in fantasy. It is in recognizing that you are only one part of someone else's story and not always the chapter they are ready to read. And yet, when you take their actions personally, you begin to reshape your identity around their decision. You begin to see yourself through the lens of rejection. You question your value. You adjust your behavior. You dim your light in the hope that someone will come back. This is the destruction of self-respect, and the Stoic path calls you away from it. Seneca wrote, "No man can have a peaceful life who thinks too much about lengthening it or about what others think of him." Applied to detachment, this means that peace cannot coexist with over-identification with someone else's opinion or behavior. You must learn to stand firm in your self-concept, regardless of how others choose to engage with you or withdraw from you. It helps to remember that people often leave not when things are worst, but when they themselves are in conflict. You may have done everything right. You may have been consistent, caring, patient, and still they may go. Because emotional departure is not a transaction, it is a reflection of internal alignment or lack of it. Your job is not to be perfect. Your job is not to win someone's presence through performance. Your job is to live in accordance with your principles and to let people reveal their character through their choices, especially when it involves walking away. If you take everything personally, you will live in constant insecurity. Every silence will feel like condemnation. Every moment of absence will feel like a wound. But when you begin to detach your worth from other people's actions, you step into emotional maturity. You begin to say, "They are choosing their path. I am not the author of their values. I am not here to be interpreted. I am here to live." This shift is not passive. It is powerful. It allows you to stop analyzing every detail, every message, every conversation. It allows you to release the mental weight of self-blame. And it allows you to mourn the loss for what it is, without making it mean more than it does. You loved. You tried. It ended. That is all. There is no secret flaw in you that caused it. There is no fatal moment that undid everything. There is no need to dissect your worth because someone could not meet you where you were. Stoicism demands that we return to the only thing we truly possess, our own will. You cannot will someone to love you. You cannot will someone to stay. But you can will yourself to stop confusing their exit with your failure. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself often that the opinions of others, even their treatment of him, were not under his jurisdiction. He wrote, "Why do you care what he thinks? Why do you let it into your soul?" This is the question you must ask yourself when someone's distance begins to erode your confidence. Why are you allowing their silence to redefine your narrative? Why are you handing over your worth to someone who is no longer here to honor it? The Stoic answer is this: you reclaim your peace by refusing to assign meaning to behavior that was never about your identity in the first place. You do not become heartless, you become clear. And in that clarity, you begin to find balance again. You stop needing explanations. You stop needing apologies. You stop creating stories. You return to the simplicity of fact. Someone made a choice, and now you must make one too. Will you spend the next weeks, months, or years internalizing their departure as your fault? Or will you begin the long, quiet work of returning to your center? You are not here to be understood by everyone. You are not here to be chosen by everyone. You are here to live with integrity and to protect your peace from the projections of others. So when the doubt creeps in, when the memories hit late at night, when the emptiness tempts you to text, to explain, to ask why, pause. Say to yourself, this is not personal. This is their path, and I do not belong to the decisions of others. Repeat it until it becomes your internal law, because the moment you stop personalizing other people's behavior is the moment you begin to personalize your healing. And that, above all, is your true responsibility. Rule number one, remember that emotional freedom is the highest form of power. There is a moment, after all the tears have dried and the messages have stopped, after the long nights and endless analysis, when silence becomes your teacher. And in that silence, you begin to understand something that no one ever explained to you clearly before. Emotional freedom is not just healing, it is power. The world does not teach us this. It teaches us that love means obsession, that longing proves depth, that the inability to let go is some kind of virtue. We are told that if it hurts, it must be real, that if you still think of them every day, then it must have meant something. But the Stoics challenge this completely. They say, what is real is what you can hold without losing yourself. And so, the final rule, the first in importance, is this. Emotional freedom is not detachment for its own sake. It is the gateway to your highest, most dignified self. Freedom does not mean you feel nothing. It means you feel without collapse. You remember without regression. You care without craving. You love without losing your inner footing. This is the kind of love Marcus Aurelius lived by. Not fragile, not impulsive, but resilient and rooted in virtue. Emotional freedom begins with understanding that your well-being is no longer at the mercy of other people's presence. You may still love someone. You may wish things had gone differently. But you are no longer held hostage by their choices, their moods, their absence. You stop waiting for the apology. You stop needing the explanation. You stop tying your emotional state to a phone that remains silent. This is not coldness. This is clarity. And from clarity comes true strength. Marcus Aurelius faced betrayal from friends, political conspiracies, the death of his children, and the crushing responsibilities of empire. Yet nowhere in his meditations do we find him blaming others, lamenting his fate, or begging for anything to be different. Instead, he returned, again and again, to a single truth. The impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. In other words, your heartbreak is not your end, it is your beginning. The detachment you're learning is not loss, it is transformation. You are not becoming less human, you are becoming more disciplined, you are not losing love. You are learning how to love rightly, without bondage, without delusion, without self-erasure. Because emotional freedom is not the absence of pain, it is the refusal to let pain control your direction. Most people stay trapped not by the other person, but by themselves, by their attachments, their narratives, their fantasies. They rehearse old conversations like rituals. They assign meaning to every gesture, every memory, every silence. And in doing so, they hand their peace to someone who may never even notice. The Stoic does not live like this. The Stoic feels the sting of heartbreak, yes, but they do not stay in the wound. They step out of it. They examine it. They ask, is this within my control? If not, why am I suffering for it? And then little by little they let go, not out of bitterness, but out of wisdom. Seneca said, he is most powerful who has power over himself. That is what you are learning now. The quiet kind of power. The kind that no one applauds on social media. The kind that no one sees, but you feel it. When you no longer flinch at their name, when you no longer wonder where they are, when you walk past the places you used to share and feel no collapse, only calm. That calm, that is power. You earn it not through control over others, but through mastery of yourself. You earn it by not reacting, by not needing closure, by not needing to be chosen. You stop chasing people who are unsure about you. You stop investing energy where it is not reciprocated. You stop proving your worth. Because you know now, your worth is not up for debate. Emotional freedom also means living in the present, not in the ruins of what might have been. You stop replaying the past. You stop predicting the future. You return to what Epictetus called the discipline of assent, the ability to govern your attention. To say, this thought does not serve me, and let it go. To say, this memory does not define me, and walk forward. You do not become unfeeling. You become unshakable. And from that place of inner stillness, something strange happens. Love becomes possible again. Not the needy, anxious kind, but the free, generous kind. The kind that can walk away if necessary. The kind that does not demand but gives. The kind that does not cling but stands beside. Because the Stoic understands that love is not possession, it is alignment. And if someone must be convinced to stay, then it is not love, it is dependency. So the next time your heart aches for what was, remind yourself, your greatest task is not to recover what left. Your greatest task is to reclaim what remained, yourself. Emotional freedom is not a place you arrive at. It is a discipline you return to every day. It is in your morning silence. It is in your decision not to reach out. It is in your refusal to speak badly of them. It is in the way you rebuild your life, not as a reaction to loss, but as a creation from strength. And here, finally, you understand what Marcus Aurelius meant when he said, waste no more time arguing what a good man should be. Be one. Waste no more time explaining your value. Live it. Waste no more time waiting to be seen. See yourself. Waste no more time regretting. You are still alive. Begin again. And that, more than love, more than closure, more than reunion, is the true miracle. You are free. You've made it to the end. Not just of this reflection, but perhaps of a chapter in your life. One that may have begun in quiet longing, in confusion, or in the quiet pain of holding on to someone who stopped holding on to you. But now, you're here, and what you hold is not the answer to why they left, or what went wrong, or how to bring them back. What you hold is something far more important, clarity. Emotional detachment is not something we pursue because we no longer care. We pursue it because we are ready to care rightly. We pursue it because we have seen what it does to the soul when we build our identity around someone else's presence. And more importantly, we pursue it because we are finally ready to return home to the self we abandoned in the name of love. The Stoics never promised comfort. They promised freedom. But a freedom earned through discipline, reflection, and the courage to confront life as it is. That's what you've done here. You have not escaped your pain. You have not buried it. You have walked into it, seen it for what it is, and come out on the other side with new eyes. You now know the difference between love and attachment, between feeling and identity, between wanting someone and needing them. You know now that just because someone once made your heart beat faster does not mean they are the foundation of your peace. That just because something felt real does not mean it was meant to last. That just because it ended does not mean you are broken. You are not broken. You were never broken. You simply forgot who you were when you began to see yourself through their gaze. And now, rule by rule, you've peeled away that illusion. You've reclaimed your attention. You've dismantled the fantasy. You've rebuilt your center. Let's remember what we've learned. You learned that nothing external belongs to you, not even the person you once loved. And the moment you accepted that, you were no longer a prisoner of their choices. You learned to shift your identity back to yourself, to stop seeking yourself in someone else's eyes, and to start living from your own values again. You learned to see reality, not story, to recognize the difference between truth and the illusions we build to protect our pain. You learned to hold to your standards, even when emotions tried to pull you into compromise and desperation. You learn to stop trying to control what is not yours to control, to let go of the exhausting habit of chasing closure, rewriting the past, or fixing what is outside your command. You learn to stop personalizing someone else's distance, and in doing so, you let go of the false belief that you were unworthy, that their absence meant your failure. And finally, you've seen the most important truth of all, that emotional freedom is power. The power to feel deeply without collapsing, to remember without clinging, to love without losing yourself. If you truly take these lessons into your life, not as passing inspiration, but as daily practice, you will become unshakable. Not cold, but clear. Not guarded, but grounded. You will love again, but this time without dependency. You will connect again, but this time from fullness, not emptiness. And when someone enters your life again, you will not hand them the keys to your peace. You will walk beside them, not behind, not beneath. You will love, but you will remain your own. Because that's what Stoicism teaches us in the end. Not to feel less, but to feel wisely. Not to stop caring, but to care without self-destruction. Not to run from heartbreak, but to rise through it, clearer, stronger, and more complete than before. So take one last moment here. Breathe deeply. Let the past settle. Let their name become quiet. Let your thoughts return to now, to this breath, to this moment, because it's yours, because you are still here. And that means your life, your real life, is waiting to be reclaimed. No one is coming to rescue you, but that is no tragedy. It is your liberation, because you are the rescue. You are the calm after the storm. You are the beginning of everything real. So walk forward now, not as someone who lost, but as someone who remembered. And if there is one phrase you must carry forward, let it be this: my peace does not depend on anyone. Repeat it every time your heart forgets, then repeat it again. Because peace is not given, peace is chosen. And from this moment on, that choice is yours.